if you're wondering where all of our music is, it's kind of in this part of the service, because we're going to have four different Thanksgiving reflections, which will be both a combination of some of my reflections on the scripture and your reflections on some questions, Thanksgiving type of questions. But I wanted to begin by just noting that we think of Thanksgiving as an American holiday. We trace it back to the Pilgrims in about 1622 or so, and then it was officially, even though there were other there were Thanksgiving feasts celebrated before this, it was made officially a national holiday in 1863 by President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. But the Pilgrims didn't think of their Thanksgiving feast as the beginning of a tradition. They didn't think of it as the first feast in this, what would become a national holiday. Rather, the Pilgrims understood their Thanksgiving feast as part of a much longer tradition. They understood their story and their feast and their the things that they celebrated on that Thanksgiving as a part of a much longer story about a God who redeems and saves and blesses the world through his people. They saw themselves as part of the line of God's people who had experienced God's blessing and were giving thanks and were commanded to celebrate. What the Pilgrims understood is that God's people have always celebrated the harvest. And that is a big word in the scriptures, the word harvest. But God's people always celebrate it. And we see just a glimpse of that in Deuteronomy 16. Which brings me to the first question that I'm going to ask you all to reflect on this morning. And it's a question that most of us reflect on at this time of year. What harvests are you celebrating this year? In Deuteronomy 16, God calls the people together at harvest time. This is a time when a whole year of work had come to fruition and they were enjoying the fruits of their labors, and God commands them to celebrate. I mean, we have to understand this when we think about God, that God commands these parties for the people. And that this is what's happening in Deuteronomy. But he doesn't just command them to celebrate individually and for the individual blessings that they've experienced. God commands the celebration to be in the presence of God and in the presence of the community, as you see. This is a festival where people came to Jerusalem together to be God's people together and give thanks to God. And it's also that we see all of the people who are invited to it. Not just the Israelites, your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites, who were kind of the priests or the pastors, if you will, the strangers, the orphans, the widows resident in your towns. This is a communal celebration. And the statement is that my harvest is not only mine. My harvest is something that has been produced in cooperation with God and in cooperation with the community around me. And so the question is, what are the things in your life that have come to fruition this year? Good things that God has brought as a part of your life and that the community has been a part of. And not only what do you have, but what role has God played in this? And what role has the community played in bringing some of these things to fruition in your life? And I'm just going to invite you to respond out loud, if you like, or just, you know, think quietly and ponder these and maybe write them down. What are some of the things, the harvests that you're celebrating this year? This is just really preparation for Thursday because, you know, you get around the table and you ask yourselves this. So what do you think? Something worth celebrating. What else? Other harvests. Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been an ongoing process that we're giving thanks for right now. Another year of marriage, another Carol, another 33rd year of marriage this week, and another year of life. We happen to have harvested a child this year, which is a good thing, which is a good thing. We're very thankful. Excuse me?
Celebrating our health.
Our health. Something to celebrate. Carol? People that care for us. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sometimes it's those moments of tragedy that really reveal what it is we do have. Yeah. Sarah? It's a good thing to celebrate. Rick?
This is good stuff. But I can't get help. Okay. I learned to live in the last 3 weeks with death on my knees. And she took her own life and it hurt. But I learned to appreciate the little. I don't know, 6,000, but it means something.
Definitely. Those, yeah. Jim.
I celebrate the fact that God has given me a second year in my life. And I can all remember.
John, I've got one. Actually, I have two. We are celebrating the addition of a new daughter-in-law to our family this year, and the fact that my mom got really great news that she's legally blind in one eye, and there is surgery that she'll be having in December that will restore some of that sight. So we will be thanking and giving thanks for that opportunity.
Right. Cindy. We have many harvests to celebrate this year, and I hope we can see the ways God has been a part of those, and how the community, our communities, have come around and shared in those with us. Let's take a moment just to be silent and reflect on our harvests, and then we're going to sing another hymn that's in your worship folder, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because God has been faithful to us. So just take a moment and reflect, and then we'll sing. The second question that we're going to be reflecting on this morning is, what have you sown that you are now reaping? It's kind of taking a step back in the story. This is not a trick question now, but if you harvest pumpkins in the fall, what did you plant in the spring? Pumpkin seeds, right? Okay, this I told you it was not a trick question. If you harvest carrots in the fall, what did you plant in the spring? Carrot seeds. Okay, we're on board with. I'm no farmer, but I think we all understand that. But that's why we ask this next question. It's important to remember that the harvest is part of a bigger story, a story that began in the spring in the case. For much of agriculture that we're talking about, where we looked at this tiny little seed, if we're planting pumpkins, a seed that looks nothing like a pumpkin, right? The pumpkin seed bears no resemblance to an actual pumpkin harvested. And we had faith that little seed that looks nothing like a pumpkin, if we put it in the ground and watered it and put it in a good soil with sunlight and all of this. We had faith that this seed would grow into something like a pumpkin that we could harvest and enjoy. It's important for us to remember these things. Paul in Galatians talks about reaping and sowing. And he says, if you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. If we sow bad seed, we will reap bad things, ultimately. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And his conclusion is not just, and I think sometimes we can get a little prideful in this, that, well, I planted the seed and so I have the harvest. But we need to look back at what we planted, not to say what good things we did or what faith we had, but so that we can then look forward and say, what kind of seeds can I be planting now? So he says after, he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. He says, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Says, pay attention to what you're sowing now. Sow good things. Do not grow weary in doing good, because those are the things that produce a good harvest the next fall. We need to appreciate the story of our harvest, the seed that was planted in faith. And so the question then is, what are some of the ways that you have been obedient to God that have maybe led to some of the harvests that you are enjoying now? What are some of the good seeds you've planted that now you're seeing come to fruition? And maybe at the time you planted them, it seemed kind of risky or challenging, or you weren't sure if it was going to work out, but you knew that this is what God wanted you to do. And now you're seeing that it was a good thing to plant that seed. So what are the things, as you look at your harvest, at the things in your life now that are coming to fruition, what was the seed that you planted? Kurt.
The work that we're putting into the community garden. Mm-hmm. And we are, the fruits of that labor are that we're getting recognition of the need and the situation of the community garden. We're getting support. It does present a message.
Yeah. And I'm sure when you started the community garden process, it was like, I don't know, this is overwhelming, we're just starting with one little garden, or, you know, and now you're seeing.
Each garden is like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Discipline in going to Bible study, learning how to be a true Christian.
So for those who didn't hear, Wayne said discipline in going to Bible study, and you're seeing some of the fruits of that now. In the moment, it might not seem like the biggest thing, but the cumulative effect is that you are becoming a fisher of people, yeah, like Jesus called us to be. Amen. Kathy. Put other people into God's hands. And I think that's especially beautiful when Sarah was just talking about harvesting, you know, getting married this year. And that was a harvest for you this year, but that was a seed that Jim planted, is saying he planted, and there were more harvests to be reaped through that. That's good for me to hear. at the beginning of that process, and you have two wonderful daughters sitting right next to you. That, for those who didn't hear, the work and the effort and the time it takes raising a family and giving to kids as they grow up. Yesterday we had our second annual kind of Thanksgiving brunch at our house, and just thinking how some of the seeds for that, and it was just beautiful. We had kids, well, making an utter mess of our house, but kids running all over, just having a blast and getting to know some of our neighbors more. And I was thinking about how, you know, in the summertime or the spring, when we would go for walks and kind of, if we saw people out, just going up their driveway and introducing ourselves. And that was like, that can be kind of challenging, I think, for us, and just planting those seeds of relationships that we got to really enjoy, a cool thing of bringing our neighborhood together and introducing folks in our neighborhood yesterday. So that was kind of the seed that was sown. Yeah. Carol?
Last year, this time, we planted a for sale sign in our yard. We moved and spent my daughter's company on something out here. She's now up here as a director of a higher life company that's in the family.
Great. Wow, that worked out well. Good. We plant seeds and we harvest, and it's a beautiful process, and sometimes we just have to appreciate how that works, so then we can start the process over again. We wouldn't keep planting pumpkin seeds if we didn't reap a harvest of pumpkins each fall and know what to plant, and I think we've had a garden now for 3 years, and each year we do something different. We learn from the harvest and say, well, here's different seeds we can plant or a different way to do this. And that's how we live our lives, as we look at the harvests that we gain, and then we learn how to plant for the next season. I think it's fitting that in finishing this reflection that we would sing Glory Be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, because ultimately, even though we plant, it's God who brings the harvest. So let's stand and give glory to God. The next question is, how have others benefited from your harvest? How have others benefited from your harvest? We've already noticed just the communal nature of the Thanksgiving feast in Deuteronomy 16. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, the widows resident in your towns. It is not just we who benefit from our harvest, but others, and that's right. Our blessing should overflow to others for two reasons. One, we already mentioned that the community is a part of it, and God is a part of it, and so they should then share in our harvests. But the other reason is that that's our calling. That when God called Abraham and started this whole community thing, he said, I am going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. And so the question then is, who rightfully shares in your harvest and the blessing of your harvest? Because they were a part of making it happen. And also, then who might you be able to invite in? Whether they were a part of it or not, just because the call is to allow God's blessing to overflow and go through you to others, who are some folks that you can invite into your harvest, into the celebration, into the joy of that? We're just going to have some silent time to reflect on this, but you'll notice in your 3G plan, that's one of the glow suggestions for this week, that whether it's your official Thanksgiving meal or not, that you would maybe find time to invite someone else into a meal that you can share with them. And you can express gratitude with them, and you can ask them what are some things that they're grateful for. But to invite someone else in to your celebration this week that might not normally be there. So let's just take some moment, a couple moments, and think about who can be a part of our harvest celebrations. Every blessing we receive is a blessing to be celebrated and a blessing to be shared. We're going to sing a song now from our red hymnals. It's number 414. And it gets to this idea that the blessings of God stretch so far to the east and to the west that soon east and west are no more, that the whole world is able to share in God's communion blessing.